Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 310, the stanzas 1, 3, and 6. I love the Lord for my request, and humble plea he makes his care. In him through life my faith shall rest, for he both hears and answers prayer. And what follows, Psalter 310, the stanzas 1, 3, and 6.
Thank you.
portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Daniel 2, the verses 1 through 23. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Daniel 2, the first 23 verses. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith the spirit was troubled, and a sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house, made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou wast now made known unto us the king's matter. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Most holy, most righteous, most merciful, ever faithful God of the heavens and of the earth, then it is pleased thee that in this evening hour that thou wast granted another meeting, where thou speakest unto us through thy word. We draw nigh unto thee in prayer. We may meet one another as a congregation, and may we be given to resemble a Daniel, of whom we have heard out of the scriptures that a decree has went forth that all the wise men, that they must be slain. But then a Daniel was given to plead with thee, as concerning the revelation of the dream, and thou wast answered him. We are all lying on account of our deep fallen Adam under the sentence of death. And then it is so necessary, so indispensable, that that secret is revealed through thy word, and that thy word is applied to the heart by thy Spirit, a way that a sinner may be set free. And that is through thy dear Son, by the work of thy Spirit. Lord, do bless thy word to that end in this evening hour. Crown thy word with thy richest blessing for the coming of thy kingdom, for the glory of thy name. Thou knowest how that each have come up in this evening hour. When there is no need, may it please thee to work that need. And when thou hast wrought a need, when there are needy sinners, oh, also concerning that secret, may it then be declared, and grant that rejoicing in thee. Bless thy holy word in the family circles. Help fathers and mothers to that end. Bless thy word in the church. Bless thy word in our Christian school. Wilt thou remember and help the school board when they hope to meet in this week? We commend unto thee thy church all over the earth. And then in this week, our classes hopes to meet. May it please thee to grant traveling mercies to and fro. And may it please thee to remember, to bless, and to help the classes. It pertains to a portion of thy kingdom in this large country. May there be a few sires in the midst of the congregations. We commend unto thee the persecuted church. We remember the Jewish people. Remember mission work, also our mission field, thy servant, the team. Remember that people in Peru, the labors are manifold for servants in thy vineyard, teachers for our Christian schools, but also a heart inclined to become a sower of the seed in a people that dwell in a faraway country. Remember the many needs upon the face of the earth, countries where there's war, some countries already for different years, countries torn asunder because of civil war. Remember the multitudes of suffering, the hungry ones, destitute, homeless ones, have not a home to sleep in this night, and then not only in other countries, but also in our country. As a fruit of departing from thee, despising thy word, where thy word has been taken together with prayer out of the institutions of learning, we commend unto thee our poor country that continues on its downward spiral, morally, spiritually, financially, and we're also in our country, that spiritual warfare between the two kingdoms, the kingdom of thy dear Son and the kingdom of Satan, that enmity is greatly on the increase, the writing is on the wall. And Lord, when persecution, when it shall break out in severity, wilt thou grant unto us and our children that we may be given to stand. So we commend our leaders unto thee federally, also of this province and of this town. Then by renewal we lay before thee the many temporal needs. Continue to provide for our daily bread. Remember all the mourning ones, so many amongst us, the mourning family that shall be called upon in the day of tomorrow to bring a dear father, grandfather, great-grandfather, and further relative to the cemetery. We commend unto thee all the distressed, sick and afflicted, the handicapped daughter in the hospital, all those under the physician's care with serious concerns. May the means be blessed where healing and strengthening is needed. May it please thee to grant it with their eyes upon thee. Those that struggle with weakness of the mind, burdens and crosses, scars, addictions and temptations, many troubles and many a trial, and when thou grantest a measure of prosperity, this all outside of paradise, but when thou grantest measures of prosperity, that we become not proud, independent, self-sufficient, forgetting thee, despising thy word, and the prayer chamber empty. Now by renewal, Lord, in this evening hour, then we humbly beg of thee for thy help. Open thy precious testimony. Open also the hearts. Go from bench to bench, from heart to heart, those that are lawfully hindered, from dwelling to dwelling, and do remember and help our boys and girls to understand. Thou only needeth one word, but what our children stand in need of, that we all stand in need of, may we be found to be more a praying and a begging congregation concerning the outward needs, but above all pertaining to the saving of our never-dying soul. A solemn thought, for one soul to go lost forever and ever. And many souls have gathered in this evening, so many, for their own account, Lord, have then a special favor, and do bless the labors. May our eyes be upon thee. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 72, the four stanzas. O Lord, hear me when I pray. and answer me in grace. Oft as I hear thee say, come ye and seek my face, my heart and lips, their answer speak, thy face, Jehovah, will I seek. And what follows, Psalter 72, the four stanzas.
Thank you.
In this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 45, the question and answers 116 through 119. Question 116. Why is prayer necessary for Christians? Answer. Because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us. And also, because God will give His grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of Him and are thankful for them. Question 117. What are the requisites of that prayer which is acceptable to God and which He will hear? Answer first, that we from the heart pray to the one true God only, who hath manifested Himself in His Word. For all things He hath commanded us to ask of Him. Secondly, that we rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery, that so we may deeply humble ourselves in the presence of His divine majesty. Thirdly, that we be fully persuaded that He, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, will, for the sake of Christ our Lord, certainly hear our prayer as He has promised us in His Word. Question 118. What hath God commanded us to ask of Him? Answer. All things necessary for soul and body, which Christ our Lord has comprised in that prayer He Himself has taught us. Question 119. What are the words of that prayer? Answer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Lord's Day 45 speaks of prayer. three thoughts. First, God's command. Secondly, God's requisites. And in the third place, God's liberality. Prayer. God's command, God's requisites, and God's liberality. Beloved congregation, our Lord's days, they continue in the part of gratitude. That part in our catechism has begun in Lord's Day 32, and it continues until Lord's Day 52. And then in the part of gratitude, then the instructors have spoken of two matters. First, the law, and now in this Lord's Day of prayer. And then already in the last Lord's Day, and then we have heard of the necessity of prayer. In the answer of question 115, why will God then have the Ten Commandments so strictly preached, since no man in this life can keep them? And then first, that all our lifetime we may learn more and more to know our sinful nature and thus become the more earnest in seeking the remission of sin and righteousness in Christ. Thus then there is mentioned seeking. Likewise, that we constantly endeavor and pray to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit. There the instructors are given to speak of the necessity of prayer. And now in this Lord's Day, why is prayer necessary for Christians? And that is Christian with a capital C. Then the instructors are speaking of gratitude in the life of the true child of God. And then of those Christians, we have heard it many Lord's days ago in Lord's Day number 12, that those true Christians, that they are partakers of Christ's anointing, concerning that threefold office, priest, prophet, a priest, and king. And then we do well, coming closer, not at the end yet, but already Lord's Day 45, to examine and to ask ourselves whether by the grace of God, by the work of the Holy Spirit, whether we have now become a true and a living Christian. And now the instructors, they have answered, because it is the chief part of thankfulness. Thus the instructors, they place, we have heard it, they have broadly explained the law, but in the part of thankfulness, then the instructors, they call it the chief part of thankfulness. And how true that is, because without prayer, there shall not be keeping a strict keeping of the law. Then prayer, when the law may be explained, then when it is well, then it shall entice to prayer. Thus the chief part of thankfulness. Then prayer, that is the secret of blessedness. That is the secret of communion. That is the secret of holiness. That is the secret of a close, a tender, a dependent life. And that is the secret of receiving blessings. Many examples in the Bible. Then Daniel, when we read his book, then he was a man of prayer. We have read together out of Daniel 2 that a decree has went forth that all the wise men, astrologers, that they must be slain because they could not interpret the dream. Are we busy with a sentence that has been passed upon us in paradise? The day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. And oh, then we have heard those precious and tender mercies which he has spoken to his three friends. We read in verse 17 that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. We read in Psalm 25, verse 14, the secret of the Lord is for those that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. When we consider this Lord's Day, then our instructors that they have added in answer 116, because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us. And later, in answer 117, there is spoken of the command of the Lord that he requires us to pray. And that is for unconverted and converted alike. The Bible, we also have examples that the Lord has heard the prayers of the unconverted concerning Ishmael in the wilderness, ready to perish. Then it is written that the Lord had heard the prayer of the lad. We read of King Jehoram with those three kings when there was a lack of water, that by means of the prophet that the Lord has answered his petition. John Bunyan, he has stated in a certain place concerning prayer that either prayer will cause us to cease from sin, only in part, or that sin will cease us to pray. He has written, those two matters do not go together. And when he was speaking of sin, then he was speaking to be a living in sin. Bishop Ryle has made a similar statement that he said that sin will choke prayer. The requirement and the command of God to mankind to pray Has the Lord not decreed everything? That is clearly written in God's holy word. And in Isaiah 46, verse 10, that the Lord knows the end from the beginning. But the Lord has not only decreed the end, but he has also decreed the means to obtain that end. And that is in the way of prayer. Does the Lord not know all things? Does he not know our needs, our wants, most perfectly? But the Lord has commanded his church to come with all their blessings, with their needs, with their desires, with their wants, and with their sins. And then the instructors, they have written very profound things in answer 116. Because God will give his grace and his Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of him and are thankful for them. It's a very profound statement. Read it again. Because God will give his grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of him and are thankful for them. Then the instructors are not speaking of free will. The instructors are speaking of the living child of God, of the true Christian. And then the instructors, they are speaking of the way and the manner that it pleases the Lord to grant blessings to his church. And it is the general way when the Lord has decreed to give unto his church a special blessing that he sends forth his Spirit, that he sets them a praying, that he grants them the spirit of prayer and supplication, the burden, the perseverance. Think of the church in Acts 1, the verses 13 and 14. Christ has clearly promised when he would depart that he would send the Holy Spirit. But now what has the church done? Then they were set a praying, we read, in one accord with prayer and with supplication. And then even more profound, that God will give his grace and his Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires, we read that word sincere, we have heard that word many times already, sincere desires, continually ask them of him and are thankful for them. Then for the church, what an examination. What a guilt. How often the child of God shall have to confess, Lord, my ingratitude, my unthankfulness, thy blessings abound. Oh, there are times. There are times. And that is a fruit of true prayer. What is obtained without fervent prayer and without waiting as a general rule, shall not be so much thankfulness. The Lord is free and sovereign. But now for those special blessings which the church has prayed for, begged for, waited for, pleaded for. Then the Holy Spirit, when He answers, when they may receive their desired request, then there shall be that thanksgiving. Read the Psalms of David. And now concerning prayer, then what it commands, what an exhortations we have in the Bible concerning prayer. Psalm 50, verse 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will answer thee. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Psalm 81. Maybe you know the text, boys and girls. Open wide thy mouth, and I will fill it. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Where there's ants, call upon me, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knewest not. Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto thee. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known unto God. And not only exhortations. What examples the Lord is pleased to give in the Scriptures of prayers that have been answered in special and remarkable ways. Abram and Sarah prayed for Isaac. In Egypt, we read, under affliction, that they have groaned and cried unto their God, and the Lord has delivered them out of Egypt with an outstretched arm. Joshua at war, the sun has stood still. Oh, that beautiful example of a Hannah tabernacle has poured out her heart and she has received a Samuel. When we think of Elijah with a drought, how many times, boys and girls, has Elijah prayed? 7 times, and then a little cloud as a man's hand. Beautiful examples in the New Testament. Oh, that Canaanitish woman that has cried. Faith was tested, but her daughter was healed. Blind Bartimaeus sat by Jericho begging, Son of David, have mercy upon me. There were many that have told him he must keep quiet. He cried the more, and he received his sight. Think of the thief on the cross. It was a short prayer. And let us remember, congregation, that is a mark of grace. There shall be people in heaven, at least who have come to years of discretion, that have never learned to read. But they have heard the word, but they have learned to pray. That is a sure mark of grace. The Lord has said to Ananias concerning Saul, behold, he prayeth. We have mentioned the church in the upper room, Acts 12, Peter in prison, specifically mentioned. Prayer was made without ceasing, and the angel has freed him. Our second thought, God's requisites. What are the requisites of that prayer which is acceptable to God and which he will hear? Then it is implied that not all prayers are acceptable to God, and that many prayers are not answered. Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not answer my prayer. James 4, verse 3. Ye ask and receive not, because ye shall consume it on your lusts. We read in Psalm 19, verse 14, the prayer of the psalmist, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Prayer is called by many different words in the Bible. To more fully express what real prayer, because the Lord requires that our tongue and our heart correspond. Then in this Lord's Day, when we read, instructors have not said that their prayers were so good, but the instructors are explaining to God's Word, and therefore they have added many texts out of the Bible to prove their instruction. And then in the Bible, we read of crying, of sighing, of groaning. Think of Hezekiah mourning as a dove, waiting, weeping, wrestling, panting. And then the many O's in the Bible, in the prayers, the church, an O of need, an O of faith, an O of urgency. And then the instructors, they are given to begin first that we from the heart pray to the one true God only. Thus the instructors are stressing that it must come forth from the heart. Does that mean that if our heart is not right, that we should skip prayer? What do you think, young people? Then you know the answer. Paul has stated in 2 Corinthians 2, the verses 14 and 15, that he will pray with the heart, but also pray with the mind. And then in the praying with our mind, then we need to ask the Lord for that upright, that sincere, true heart that may feel our needs. Thus first from the heart, then further to the one true God only, who has manifested himself in his word. We think of the people of Athens. They also prayed and worshipped, but they had this altar, and on that altar was written to the unknown God. But now the instructors speak of the only true God, and he is declared to us. We have learned from Reverend Hellenbrook, we all know the first question, or we should know the first question, not only very small children, but also fathers and mothers. Once knowest that there is a God from nature and from the Holy Scriptures. And from nature, then many of God's attributes are declared, but there is not declared that God is triune, and also the way that a sinner can be saved. Thus, to that end, it is necessary that we search the Scriptures, and that in our prayers that we ask for his grace, for the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, that experientially that we may be given to know the only true God. And then we have learned from Reverend Hellenbrook and fathers and mothers, then I hope you also have an active part concerning the catechism lessons that your children receive, that you ask concerning what they have learned. And then Reverend Hellenbrook has asked, wherein God must be known. And then he has spoken his essence, his names, his attributes, and his persons. And that is now necessary to learn experientially. Oh, to know who that great God is, in his power, wisdom, goodness, faithfulness, truth, all his attributes. Read in John 4, verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And that is now necessary, that God becomes real in our life, because that shall also affect the way that we approach God in prayer. Oh, congregation, then already, how guilty we all are. Are you quite satisfied with your prayers? Quite proud? Then we do well. Already for many weeks, there have been meditations of Reverend Theodore van der Groo concerning Luke 18, concerning the publican in the temple, and then how clearly he is given to describe the life of a true child of God, but also the prayer of the Christian. How clearly, how profoundly, how biblically it is described. And then we do well to lay our heart and our life beside it. Oh, our prayers, oftentimes are they even worthy of the word prayer? What is our answer, congregation? Or can you always have a heart that is soft, humbled, thankful, never any wandering thoughts, never form and duty? Oh, then also in the part of prayer, all heard how guilty we were at the foot of Mount Sinai. But now already in this Lord's day, how guilty. Nevertheless, there is a people upon the earth that know those times, that it is more than form and duty, that it is a matter of the heart, that they are given to weep, that they are given to cry, that they are given to beg. Ah, then the Psalms are not a strange matter to them, and given to believe. And those times when they may be thankful, humbled, that the Lord hears prayer, and given to believe that he shall answer to that end. The instructors have fairly written to rightly and thoroughly know our needs. And then the instructors are given to speak, to know our need and misery. We have our daily needs. They are manifold. The misery, we could speak of the trials and the troubles, secret crosses, but when we read that word misery, then we must also think of the need of our never-dying soul, that through our deep fallen Adam, we have been plunged into the deepest misery, lost, under God's wrath, and that we need to be delivered from our misery by the grace of God. And when the Spirit begins, then that great God, that majestic God, then he becomes real in our life, then it becomes true. And then it shall also be, as the instructors have stated, that we rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery, that so we may deeply humble ourselves in the presence of His Divine Majesty. There is a Christendom in our day that speak to God as if He is on an equal plane with mankind. But when we think of the Bible, oh, think of Abraham. Genesis 18, verse 27. That he was given to speak to the Lord, given to confess, but dust and ashes, not stand above Sodom and Gomorrah. Think of those that have fallen at the feet of the Lord. Think of Isaiah 6, where the prophet Isaiah has seen that vision, holy angels, six wings, holy. Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Woe unto me, a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. Ah, think of that centurion, Matthew 8, servant, sick, nigh unto death, sent a servant to Jesus. He heard that Jesus was coming, and then he sent a messenger that he was not worthy, that Jesus would come under his roof. Let us first sing Psalter 431, stanzas 4, 5, and 6. Open, saith the Lord, why thy mouth believing this my covenant word, I will, if thou plead, fill thine every need, all thy wants relieving. And what follows, 431, 4, 5, and 6. Thirdly, that we be fully persuaded that He, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, will, for the sake of Christ our Lord, as certainly hear our prayer as He has promised in His Word. Then the instructors speak of that God-given faith, a rod by the Holy Spirit. Then the instructors speak of that freedom and opening at the throne of grace when it pleases the Spirit to grant that freedom and that liberty. And given to experience, we have heard it on prayer day. Psalm 34, verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and delivered him out of all his troubles. Well, hear. And then the instructors have added, only for the sake of Christ. And we include it in our prayers. But it is necessary that we are exercised therewith. John 16, the verses 23 and 24, then Christ is said to His disciples, hitherto have ye not asked anything in My name. But whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, My Father shall give it. Thus then it is clearly implied that those disciples needed to be led further in the mediatorial work of the dear Son of God. Well, for the sake of Christ, our Lord, the church has made that good choice. And then the church will have a desire to place them in subjection and to obey their Lord, be exercised with His kingdom and His glory. Certainly hear our prayer as He has promised us in His Word. Then a few texts which we have mentioned concerning exhortations to pray, then also a promise is added. And He answers in His way, at His time, and so far that it may be according to His sovereign will and for His glory. God's liberality. What hath God commanded us to ask of Him? All things necessary for soul and for body. All things, not only great things, also small things. It is a privilege and a blessing when we do need the Lord for also small matters. When we go on a long journey, a very long journey, then we ask the Lord, right, boys and girls? And we ask the Lord that He may watch over us, our short journeys. Then we can manage ourselves. It's a blessing when the Lord grants impressions of our dependency upon the Lord. But then the instructors are given to speak of that great God who was so rich. And he does not become richer by holding in. And he does not become poor by giving out. Because with him there is such an abundance. And therefore the command, Proverbs 3 verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Prayer, that is the strength and the beauty of the church. There's nothing that the devil fears more than prayer. A praying church, true prayer. Because the devil believes God's word. He believes those promises that God will indeed answer prayer, that he shall glorify his attributes, and that his prayer concerning our bodily needs, prayer concerning our souls. A fitting Lord's Day. After we had our prayer day on Wednesday, then it is a fitting Lord's Day for examination. How was it in our hearts when we have heard of those requisites of true, sincere, upright prayer? Oh, a blessing when there may be those times. The matters bound upon the heart, the freedom, and the faith to believe that the Lord does indeed hear and answer prayer, our temporal needs, our spiritual needs. Then how necessary with the disciples to pray. Luke 11 verse 1, Lord, teach us to pray. When we read that answer, all things necessary for soul and body, which Christ our Lord has comprised us in that prayer he himself has taught us, then let us close with that message which the brothers of Joseph have brought to Father Jacob concerning the storehouses in Egypt. Joseph is alive and governor over all the land of Egypt. Amen. Let us close. Lord, when we have heard thy word explained with many shortcomings, then how necessary to pray, Lord, teach us to pray. We may commence another week. Wilt thou grant health, strength, courage for our daily labors? May there also be many prayers sent up during our work, on the way, with our studies, wherever we are called to be. Then once more we commend unto thee the mourning family that hopes to come up to thy house and to the cemetery to bury their dear one. Wilt thou help thy servant? By renewal we lay the needs of the classes before thee. Help the school board when they hope to meet. wilt thou also provide for the coming Lord's Day. Help the brother elders who are called to lead. Remember all those that have an active part, our doorkeepers, continue to help those that lead the congregational singing, the sound. Wilt thou help them all and grant thy blessing. Wilt thou remember and bless our branch. O Lord, do watch over us. Keep us from sin and temptation. Bring us now safely to our dwellings. Be the faithful keeper, Israel, that slumbers and sleepeth not. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 386, the first three stanzas. O Lord, make haste to hear my cry. To thee I call, on thee rely. Incline to me a gracious ear. And when I call, in mercy hear. And what follows, 386, the first three stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.